once again to Shotgun Saturday Nights, the unofficial fan cast where we discuss, dissect, and gush over two of our favorite podcasts, King Falls AM and Improv on Tape. Once again, I am your host, Dana. And of course, this podcast, as usual, does contain spoilers, specifically for King Falls Episode 33, E.T. Text Home. Improv on Tape is still on hiatus this week. Presumably, they are recording Season 4 turn date. I will pass it along just in case somebody misses it. So, this week is going to be somewhat of a shorter episode. So, lucky you. You don't have to listen to me babble on for so much. Anyway, if you have not caught up on the episode of King Falls, then hit the pause button, go listen. I'm not going anywhere. I think I have proven time and time again that I have no life, and so therefore, I can wait. Anyway, let's get started. This week in the news, I am going to try and keep my bitching and moaning to a minimum. I think sometimes I feel like I get on here and just rant and bitch and complain, and that's not why you guys tune in. You tune in to hear about King Falls and about improv. So I'm still going to bitch, but I'm going to try and keep it to a minimum and just not do it as much. So, on that note, Kyle Rittenhouse, little piece of shit that he is. Just when we thought we were done with him, he has turned himself into a meme. I'm sure he's not the only one to have done it, and I guarantee other people have done it, especially with that little fake crying jag of his on the witness stand. And of course, that's what he has used, that little phony cry. Instead of waving his hands in the air like he was on the witness stand, he has put a gas pump in his hand, and he's crying about gas prices. Really, Kyle? You're going to cry about gas prices after all this? You know, really, if it's that bad, just go and start another GoFundMe account. I'm sure that Marge and Lauren and Matt and all those other sycophants up there in the party of Trump will be more than happy to give you money. Let's see what else. Idaho has passed a new abortion law that allows the families of a rapist or someone who has committed incest to sue his victims for having an abortion up to 4 years after the fact for a minimum of $20,000. So, God forbid, somebody in Idaho is raped and gets pregnant and decides to have an abortion, the rapist's parents, grandparents, and any potential siblings that the child of said rape or incest would have can sue the mother for a minimum of $20,000 each of those people. So if they have, you know, 10 siblings, each one of those siblings can sue the mother. They were kind enough and generous enough to say that the rapists themselves couldn't sue the mother. Gee, how nice of them. Just piling on to the stupid Texas bill. So, honestly, if you live in Idaho, vote blue next time. Papa John's and Subway and other companies are refusing to pull out of Russia, so it is time to boycott them as well. I know sometimes it seems like it's a much shorter list of companies that we can patron. Is that what, am I saying that right? Places we can go eat, places we can shop, places we can support, because everybody's pissing somebody off. My suggestion is, whenever possible, shop local, eat local, go to local stores, farmers markets, things like that. The chances of them doing something to piss you off politically or personally is probably far less than these major corporations. Just a suggestion. And that's something that I need to do myself as well. More supporting local business. In other news, Moderna, the company who has done one of the COVID vaccines, is set to start phase one human trials for a new HIV vaccine that is modeled after the mRNA vaccine for COVID. Obviously, they're going to do much more research and go much more in depth than what they did for COVID, because that had to have been rolled out much more quickly. Not that HIV vaccines don't need to be rolled out quickly, that's not what I'm saying. But hopefully this will help reduce, if not eliminate, HIV in the future. So fingers crossed for Moderna. Italy, in an effort to reduce dependence on foreign oil, specifically Russian oil, has approved 6 new wind farms. Of course, this is not going to happen overnight. It takes time to build these things and get people trained. They are estimating 30 months, so roughly a little over 2 years. So you see, America, it can be done. We can get these things done and reduce and eliminate our dependence on foreign oil. This is how you become energy independent. Of course, I am also of the belief that until wind and solar companies start contributing to politicians like gas and oil companies do, I really don't see renewable energy happening here anytime in the near future. Sad, but true. However, we do need to work on getting more energy independent, and honestly, renewable energy is the way to go. However, that being said, let's get on with the episode. This episode originally aired on September 1st, 2016. It opens with Sammy and Ben arguing about something. We don't know what just yet. Sammy's threatening to walk away. Ben pulls the notebook to let Sammy know that he has a plan. It's all a part of the grander scheme. And naturally, he's not going to tell Sammy what that grander scheme is. Sammy is blatantly upset. He is very against sending Tim and Mary to a possible crime scene. It is reckless and irresponsible. According to Ben, Mary has agreed to this, and besides, it's not a crime scene. The police don't know anything about it. Unless, of course, the police are listening to the show. And we have no evidence of that. Troy does not call in this evening. But Ben is putting all of this aside because he's focusing on his feelings for Emily, and of course he's not going to put his feelings for Emily aside. Sammy tells Ben that his judgment is clouded and he doesn't need Storm Sanders to tell him that. Ben doesn't get the joke. I thought it was funny. And I'd be willing to bet the vast majority of y'all thought it was funny too. Poor Ben. Sometimes his emotions just get so in there and he gets so focused he misses what's going on right in front of his face. But we still love Ben, so it's okay. The lines are lit up. Ben needs to go make a call. He needs to call Mary. And Sammy's done. He's giving up on the argument. He's like, fine, I understand that you're doing this to get Emily back. But he himself is not really ready to send out the suicide squad, which then, of course, sets Ben off again, because he's not sending Tim to storm the beaches of Normandy or anything like that. But they do cut to a clip from earlier in the show. We find out that it originally happened around 2:15, about what's going on at Libbydale. Earlier, there was some commotion at Libbydale Farms where Ben is sending the Suicide Squad. Where last year Mayor Grisham had had the crop circles that were there mowed down. It could have been a message from Tim, so everybody was kind of pissed off about that, which is why Ben is so adamant to get people out there now, before Grisham and Gunderson and everybody else can get out there and see what's going on and mow things down again. Sammy tells Ben to play the clip that they're talking about so that they can talk off the air. So in this clip, Dwayne Libbydale is calling in. He went to school with Ben. They even played on the Little League Lumberjacks together. Dwayne and his fiance are back, kind of, but not really. He and his fiance Kirk flew in because Dwayne's uncle passed, which, you know, is very sad. They talk about Ben's possible crush on Kelly Kittering, who Dwayne and Kirk had just come back from visiting. They were pulling into the farm when Kirk noticed some black triangle-shaped thingies hovering silently about 50 feet or so over the barn. They were going to call Gunderson, but Dwayne remembered an argument between Gunderson and his father last year about something about the crops. He didn't remember all the details. So he decided not to do that, and he also remembered that the radio station used to like to talk about weird stuff like this. And of course, as we all know, they still do. Ben asks if they've looked at the crops, tells them to go out and take a look, but definitely do not call the cops. Dwayne gets all excited and animated because the stalks have been flattened and he doesn't know what's going on. So Ben asks, you know, hey, can we send out, you know, can I send out an expert? And Dwayne, of course, says, yeah, sure, might as well. I got to go wake up my dad anyway. And so now they cut to a commercial. The clip is over. They go straight to a commercial. It is a Herschel campaign commercial. Herschel is complaining about Grisham closing boat ramps and parks. And he likes Ron. He thinks he'd make a great mayor. But who's going to run the bait and tackle shop if Ron wins? So, you know, obviously Herschel needs to run. He also thinks that Ron would make a great dad, and he tells Cecil that, you know, gays can buy babies just like movie stars, because, of course, you hear Cecil in the background talking about he's not going to be a dad the way he keeps on going. True, but, you know, there is adoption, or buying babies, like Herschel said. Don't buy babies, people. Just adopt them. Don't buy them. And Herschel also says, you know, kind of one of my favorite things, that as long as you ain't hurting a body with the choices you make, you're free to make all the dumb choices you want. So yeah, do stupid shit. Just don't hurt anybody while you're doing stupid shit. Anyway, vote Herschel Baumgartner this November, or don't. He ain't your fucking boss. We come back to the show, and Ben is saying he doesn't care about something Sammy said off air, as long as it brings Emily back. Ben's experts are on the scene, or at least one of Ben's experts is on the scene. Ben apparently has sent multiple people out to check on the crops, not just him and Mary. Sammy is worried that this is going to be dangerous, but Ben, once again, doesn't think it is, and he is willing to accept all the blame if something happens, which it won't, because this is all about Emily. Ben, once again, not thinking super clearly on this, not thinking big picture, just very focused on the outcome that he wants. And I get it. I understand. We are all, at this point, very focused and very invested in getting Emily back. We find out that his expert that's there is Pete. And we find this out because the phone rings and they go to answer the call, and of course it's Pete. They banter a little back and forth, trading, you know, insults and stuff like they do. Sammy pinches himself like, oh my God, I'm just making sure I'm still awake. Pete is in a bit of a rush. He's upset that it took him, what we later find out, is about 45 minutes to get there from HFB3's place to Libbydale Farms, and he's doing this on his lunch break. It's kind of a long drive, I guess, or at least the way Pete drives, it's a long drive. Which, what I gather from this, would probably take normal drivers 20 minutes, take a driver like me maybe 10 minutes if I can avoid Gunderson and Troy and Katie Lynch and them. So don't be like me. Don't speed. Keep your lead foot off the gas pedal. Anyway, It looks like the corn stalks have all been smashed down to the same 45-degree angle that they were the last time. Pete, in an attempt to get a better look, because he can't tell what the shape is, climbs up on the barn. He says it looks kind of like Prince's symbol. He doesn't know if it's the same symbol or not, because he didn't get the aerial view the last time. Sammy reminds people that Gunderson hired Pete last time to mow the crop circles down. And Pete's like, you know, absolutely right, because he's the best landscape artist in King Falls, and sometimes the landscape is just plain and bare. Ben thinks that Pete could have probably gotten there faster. You know, 45 minutes seems an awful long way, or an awful long time to get from HFB3's haunted manor out to the farm. And Pete's like, well, what, are you the one paying the note on my 07 Corolla? And we find out that, you know, yes, Pete has a note on a car that is 10 years old. He likes a longer lease with a smaller payment because it puts more fun bucks in his pocket. What exactly he's doing with those fun bucks besides spending it on slushies, nobody really knows. And sometimes we just really don't care what Pete's doing, for as much as we like him. Ben wants Pete to show the crop circles to someone, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We all know it's Tim, but Pete doesn't know that yet. Sammy accuses Ben of inserting himself into the story and not just reporting on it. Yeah, that's basically what he's doing. He's putting himself there. He's not just reporting. Of course, Sammy can't really say much. I mean, he did attack attack Mayor Grisham and fight with him at a live event. So Sammy doesn't have a lot of room to talk. But at least Sammy has learned from his actions. To a point. Sammy doesn't understand why everybody has to be there. And he's like, don't say notebook. It's like, Ben, I trust you, but this is bigger than the notebook. Other people are out there, you know, now, and there are other people are at risk. For example, Pete, on a barn, middle of the night. And yes, that was my Sammy Stevens impression. Not a good one, but there it is. They remind the callers that, you know, once again, there are crop circles, and Gunderson had them mowed down last time on the same night that they appeared, so they're trying to stretch it out this time so Gunderson doesn't get out there as quickly. And they ask, you know, has anybody else seen anything unusual in the sky? They start taking calls. Line 4 goes again. The problem with that being my heat also goes out when the power flickers like that. Anyway, line 4 is Pasty Waste Incorporated. Ben tells Sammy to dump the call, but of course, Sammy being Sammy, never listens. He asks what the callers are selling, and they are selling albino fecal waste removal. Albinos have a hard time digesting food that looks like them. Things like vanilla ice cream, cauliflower, mashed taters. They get all stopped up and have pasty waste. Ben, meanwhile, has guessed correctly that this is Chad and or Brad Higginbaum. Sammy hangs up the phone completely disgusted with these children. And what he has learned from this call is that when Ben becomes their stepdad, he's going to have a lot of work to do. Ben's like, yeah, no, not going to happen. He also tells Sammy that, you know, you look kind of peaked and don't barf. You barf, I barf. Ben, I totally get it. Somebody around me barfs, I'm barfing right there with them. So, yeah. Anyway, they check back in at the farm. Mary answers. Tim is now climbing up on the barn with Pete. And he's acting like a child, and Mary's hollering at him to, you know, get down, you know, come off of there, you know, just stop acting like a 2-year-old, apparently, because Mary does not like it. Dwayne and Kirk showed them what Sammy has dubbed the text message from the gods, And she tells the boys that Tim has been mid-flicker for the past 2 days, but then all of a sudden, when they were just a few minutes away from Libbydale, Tim just snapped out of it. And he's acting like him own self. He was affectionate. He gave her a kiss. All this would be fine if he was not now climbing up on top of the barn, which is making her extremely nervous. The station line rings, so they hang up with Mary, thinking it's Pete, and it is. He's upset that Tim is climbing up on the barn. Ben says not to worry. It's not like he's going to go flipping anybody's Funyuns or anything. You can hear Tim in the background asking, you know, hey, buddy, can you give me a hand? Help me up over here. And Pete's like, should I go help him? The boys are like, yes, oh my God, please go help him. Because, you know, they don't want Tim falling and breaking his neck if he falls off the roof of the barn. So they tell, Pete then tells Tim that, you know, look, I'm training Krav Maga. I'm warning you, don't try anything. Don't make me use it. Tim just kind of blows him off like, what would I do? Why would I try anything? He's like, hey, buddy, you know who you're talking to on the phone? He's like, I'm talking to the cops. And Tim's like, well, hey, tell Troy hi. And of course, you know, it's not Troy because he's talking to the station. So he's like, yeah, here, the phone's for you. And he gives the phone to Tim. Tim is excited to be talking to Sammy and Ben. And, you know, Sammy's like, you know, why don't you get off the barn? And Pete wants to go. He's like, you know, can I have my sidekick back? Because it's an 07, like the Corolla. Tim's like, no. He's talking to his friends, Sammy and Ben, of the Sammy and Ben show at King Falls AM, 660 on the radio dial. They helped Tim get back home. And then he calls them interlopers. Ben's like, what? You know, Tim, hello, hi, what's this all about? Tim snaps out of it. Kind of flickers again a little bit. They suggest that he gets off the barn. Mary's worried, but he can't because Mary Jensen, his wife, has told him that his friends, Ben and Sammy, want him to climb up on this barn. He's just being very weirdly specific. That they've come out to Libbydale. He rattles off a string of numbers. And Sammy's like, hey, Tim, buddy, you know, what were those numbers? Tim's like, what numbers? I didn't say any numbers. He must have imagined it. Ben says notebook. Tim echoes like, yeah, notebook, Sammy. And then right afterwards says, you'll never get her, Ben. Ben is like, what the fuck did you just say? Tim's like, dude, hey. No call for that kind of language. Just want to know, you know, what it was you wanted me to come look at in this parsec, which totally goes over the heads of the boys. Sammy tells him, you know, go look at the crop circles, kind of out where Pete was looking. You know, what do you see? Tim's like, looks kind of like a princess symbol, but not really. It's actually multiple signs. They discuss it a few minutes, and it's like, no, actually, it's not just signs. It's letters. It's multiple letters. Ben's like, what does it say? Tim says, I don't know. Ben really pushes him, like, what does it say? Tim kind of reads it hymns and haws and does the I before E. It says Emily. Just Emily. And, of course, that is where the episode ends. So, as we all know, Emily has been taken by the rainbow lights. There were no rainbow lights this time when the black thingies were in the air. Black triangle-shaped thingies were in the air. But we all know that's what took Emily. She is now in the same place wherever Tim was when he was taken. And we will hopefully find out soon where that is and what was happening. So fingers crossed, we find Emily sooner rather than later. Anyway, like I said, that was the end of that episode. And we have no improv on tape. As per usual, I have no listener questions. Guys, come on, start giving me questions. Start giving me topics. Tell me something you want to hear me talk about. Besides, you know, my own life and the fact that I just spent an arm and a leg to get my dog's tooth pulled. Not just get his tooth pulled. He broke his tooth. And he didn't just break his tooth. He broke it at the root. So this wasn't just a matter of, oh, his tooth is cracked and we don't do fillings on dogs, so we got to pull his tooth. No, no, no. This was, we got to pull a tooth and then we got to go in and do surgery to extract what's left of the root. Yeah. That was not cheap. So that's fun. And I know y'all don't want to hear that. Maybe I will go set up a GoFundMe account to pay for my dog's oral surgery. Okay, maybe not. Anyway, I also don't have any plugs this week. I've just been super busy and have not had a chance to listen to very many of the podcasts that I normally listen to, much less anything new. I did watch The Adam Project on Netflix the other day. That was really good. Of course, it's Ryan Reynolds, so I didn't expect it to be trash. I did expect it to be good. But actually, it was better than I thought it was going to be. I think everybody should watch it. Definitely a family-friendly kind of thing. So if you've got kids, go sit down and watch The Anna Project with them. It was really cute. It was really sweet. Anyway, this has been Shotgun Saturday Nights. It is recorded and edited by me, Dana Olson. Our opening theme is Get Ready by Fezzeline Studios. And our closing music is Slumber of the Blackwoods by As Above, So Below. Follow us on Twitter at ShotgunSammy71, Shotgun Saturday Nights on Facebook, or email us your questions, comments, concerns, topics, etc., and so on at ShotgunSaturdayNights@gmail.com. And don't forget to like, share, and review. Also, get vaccinated if you haven't. I know mask mandates are going away, but keep wearing your masks if you feel comfortable with it. Keep washing your hands. And above all else, be well, King Falls. We'll be right back.